Welcome to Gospel in Life. Thank you for joining as we go through this special series of meditations by Tim Keller, Trusting God in Difficult Times. This new series is meant to encourage you to trust God more deeply and to meditate on His Word and what it promises to give you strength and hope in difficult times. And now here's today's meditation.
I'm going to read from the first chapter of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, 'Violence,' but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die." Now, Habakkuk is a prophet, and he's seeing everything go wrong in his society. He's seeing everything go wrong in his culture. He sees his nation not only declining morally and socially, but he sees a threat coming. He sees military threat coming. He sees just disaster. And he complains to God about it, but then he does something about it. Now, here's what I want you to see. First of all, it says, he says, "Why do you make me look on injustice? How long must I cry out to you and you do not listen?" So at this point, he's actually saying, everything seems to be going wrong and you don't seem to be doing anything right about it. And even says, "Why am I fated to be here in the midst of such evil times? My father, my grandfather, things were so much better. Why me?" So he's really crying out. But the other thing that he does, on the other hand, is he, at the same time, he says, "But my God, my Holy One, we will not die." So what I like about him, he's extraordinarily honest. In fact, one Old Testament commentator says that when Habakkuk says, "O Lord, are you not from everlasting?" There's an expert in Hebrew that says this is an insult. This is a way of saying, "I thought you were infinite. I thought you were you were infinitely good and wise. How could you be letting this happen?" So it's an insult. So on the one hand, he is being incredibly realistic emotionally. But on the other hand, he says, "But my God, my Holy One, we will not die." I would like to put this in front of you. Habakkuk is so much more honest than most religious people are. Most religious people feel like, I can't cry out like that. I can't lament. I can't express my anger and unhappiness to God. I've got to be really kind. I've got to really be respectful. He's more honest than most religious people, but he's way more faithful than a secular person. There is no indication that he's saying, "Well, I'm not going to trust a God like this." He says, "No, my God, my Holy One, we will not die." And I suggest to you that in times like we're in right now, there needs to be an honesty. We can't just say, "The Lord's working in everything, and I'm sure He's doing good things here, and this is going to make us all stronger." No, let's admit there's tragedy, there's death, there's long-term hurt and pain. Let's be more emotionally realistic the way he is. But on the other hand, let there be no one saying, "Well, I just can't believe in a God like this." He is way too faithful for the secular. He's way too honest, I think, for the religious. But he is our model. And whenever he says, "Why do I have to see these awful times?" it reminds me of Frodo in Lord of the Rings, who says to Gandalf, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." Of course, all this tragedy. And of course, Gandalf says, "So do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." That's what Habakkuk is doing. That's what we should be doing.
And now here's Tim and Kathy Keller for a short time of Q&A on today's meditation.
It's really extraordinary the number of times and places in the Bible that God's people are invited to wrestle with Him and to question Him and mm-hmm. even to doubt Him, like yes. Thomas did. That seems pretty unique in the world religions, that the faithful are still yes. permitted, and not just permitted, but encouraged to question God rather than saying, I believe whatever you do is right. Why do you think that is?
Actually, that's a great question, and an answer is not immediately jumping to my mind, but I would say a couple things. First
we
is
rehearse this.
First is the fact that there's so many major figures like Jeremiah, by the way, also calls God a deceptive brook, like a brook that's going to give him water and then runs dry. He does that in Jeremiah 12, and you've got Job, of course, and you've got Habakkuk here, and you've got Jacob literally wrestling with God.
Thomas in the New Testament.
And you've got Thomas, who's...
And those disciples at the Ascension that some of them
doubted. That's right, that's right. Well, one thing is true, and that is these things really happened. You don't make up stories in which your leaders in the faith are calling God names and showing doubts. Secondly, it's because we have a God of grace. It's because we got a God of grace. I mean, Habakkuk, and I probably should have, in my little reflection, I probably should have brought this out. When Habakkuk says, my God, my Holy One, that's covenantal language. It's in the burning bush when God appears to Moses. He doesn't reveal himself just as Elohim, God. He says, you will be my people, and I will be your God. And that's the language of intimacy. I can say, you're my Kathy, and you say, you're my Tim, but nobody else has the right to say that to us. And so this is the language of grace and of relationship. And therefore, because he's a God of grace, because he's a God who says, I'm faithful to my people, not because they've got their I's dotted and their T's crossed. I'm faithful not because they always say it just right. I'm their God because I'm a God of grace. And I don't think other religions who believe that basically you're saved by your good works and by your observances and so forth, can accentuate God like that, give us a God like that. So I think that's the reason.
Thank you for joining us for this special series by Dr. Keller. Our prayer is that these meditations on God's Word will remind you of God's sovereignty and shine light on the hope we have in Christ in every circumstance. Because the gospel changes everything. If you found today's meditation encouraging, please share it with a friend to encourage them as well. And to find more resources by Dr. Keller or to make a gift, visit gospelandlife.com. Thanks again for listening to Gospel and Life.